Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. We'll just begin by reading the English for the text number 25. There's no purport. Lord Brahma, surrounded by other demigods whose bright face, because the Lord was pleased. Thus he offered prayers so the Lord would transcend the words. Text 26. Sri Brahma Vacha. Deva Deva Kila Yaksha Buddha Bhavana Purvaja Dishtya Te Nihitak Papo Loka Santa Pano Sura Sri Brahma Uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Deva Deva, O my Lord, Lord of all demigods, Akila Adyaksha, owner of the whole universe, Buddha Bhavanaha, O cause of all living entities, Purvaja, original personality of Godhead, Dishtya, by your example or because of our good fortune. Te, by you. Niheta, killed. Papa, most sinful. Loka santapanaha, giving trouble to the entire universe. Asura, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord of all Lords, proprietor of the entire universe, O Benedictor of all living entities, O original person, Adi Purusha, because of our good fortune, you have now killed this sinful demon, who is giving trouble to the entire universe. Purport. The word Purvaja is described in Bhagavad Gita, 10.8. Aham savasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate. All the demigods, including Lord Brahma, are manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the original person, the cause of all causes, is Govinda, the Adi Purusha. Text 27. This demon Hiranyakashipu received from me the benediction that he would not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this insurance and with strength derived from austerities and mystic power, he became excessively proud and transgressed all the Vedic injunctions. By good fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, has now been released from death. For although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. One meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. Purport. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to a limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Karmani nirdahati kintu chabakti vajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita. Devotee is not under the law of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. Krishna is the controller of everything. He's even the controller of death. Matter of fact, he is death. And at every moment, the body that we have is dying. It's not that there's a time called death. That's the only death. Every single body we have is constantly changing and therefore disappearing. So that's what we call death. When the body disappears, we call it death. So death is going on continuously. Death of the present body is happening moment after moment. But no one laments the changing of their body, generally speaking. Matter of fact, it's expected. And it's all going on by Krishna's arrangement through his material energy. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Siyate Sacharacharam Hetu No Nuna Kuntiya Jagatvi Parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O Son of Kunti, producing all the moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this cosmic manifestation is manifested and annihilated again and again. But, as mentioned here, as Krishna controls everything, so he can also extend the life of a devotee. In Prabhupada's example, he had a second heart attack that he had when he was in America. He said that was supposed to be the time when I was supposed to leave my body, but Krishna extended the time because he wanted me to preach. But there's not a great advantage of perpetually extending one's life. Just like when there was Bhishma, there was Drona, and Arjuna was supposed to fight against them. And Arjuna was reluctant to fight. But Krishna said, but if you kill them, then they'll get a nice young body. What's the problem? Who likes to live in an old body?
I'm not hungry.
It is always an advantage of having a young, strong body if one is doing service. So Bhijma was so many hundreds of years old, I believe. Similarly, Dronacharya was old. And therefore, if one moment they had an old body, the next moment they got a young body, what would be the problem? But because we think we are this body, therefore we think there's a problem. Still, it's always good to leave your body if you can go back to Godhead. If you leave this place, this house, and you walk into a palace, no one's going to complain. Similarly, if we leave this body and go back to the spiritual world, then what's the problem? The problem is that we're not qualified to go to the spiritual world, and we're not even clear where we're going to go, what we're qualified to go to. Therefore, we're fearful of leaving this body because we don't know where we're going next. If we could be assured that we were going to a good place, then it wouldn't be any problem. We'd be less in anxiety. As a matter of fact, just imagine a common person, how much anxiety there are, especially those who perform sinful activities, how much they're an anxiety by nature because of their sinful activities, and how much they must be doubtful what their next destination will be. Devotees have reported how when they're with their parents say, why are these strange people in the hospital? What are all these strange people coming here? Why are they coming here to visit me? Guess who they are? Wasn't the Vishnu Dutas. Even someone like the famous dictator in Russia, Stalin, when he was leaving his body, his daughter was present, and Stalin was looking upward, pointing to these people who were coming to take him away. And they weren't coming to take him to Vaikuntha, I can assure you. So it's not fictitious. Many hospitals report people becoming very fearful at the time of death, pointing to these people who are trying to take them out of their body. Take them for a long walk. Of course, the long walk, at least it's heated. The ground is heated, so... your feet will not get cold on the way. You'll meet many nice dogs on the way. We'll be very happy to see you. Hungry dogs, happy to see you. But Krishna sometimes extends our life. As a matter of fact, he is extending our life, or else we would be in our next body already. But he wants us to utilize it for preaching. This idea that if I extend my life, that's auspicious. Auspicious for what? If you extend someone's life and they use it for sinful activities, it means they were qualified to become a dog in their next lifetime, and now you've extended their life, so now they're going to become a tree. You've done a lot of life. It was going to take them 10 million births to get back to the human form of life, and now by your mercy it's going to take them 100 million. So there's nothing auspicious about extending anyone's life. Of course, if people have the opportunity and the willingness to hear about Krishna and to take up the process of devotional service, then extended life has some meaning and some value. Other than that, it's actually detrimental for most people because they'll keep on doing their sinful activities. As that famous story goes, when king is talking to his minister and asking why this Brahmin is giving these particular kind of blessings. To one brahmachari, he gives the blessing, may you die immediately. And to a prince, he gives the blessing, may you live forever. And for a butcher, he said, may you not live, and may you not die. And for a devotee, he said, whether you live or die, it makes no difference. So the king was inquisitive, so he asked the minister, why is this Brahmin giving these blessings? For the brahmachari, he said, the brahmachari is going through so much austerity. That was the previous age for brahmacharis. And that better he dies immediately, so he can go back to the spiritual world, so he can get a higher position in his next lifetime. And for the prince, he's engaged in so much sense gratification that he's enjoying so much now, but when he dies, he's going to suffer and go to hell. So better he live forever. And for the butcher, he's killing so many animals, so much pain and suffering he's experiencing and giving to others. Better he die immediately. But if he dies, then he's going to have to go to hell and suffer perpetually. So better he not live and better he not die. And for the devotee, he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He's already in the spiritual world of existence. So whether he lives or dies, it makes no difference. Now he's living in the spiritual world. And when he leaves his body, he'll also be living in the spiritual world. So that's the only auspicious activity. Is somehow or another, yena tena pakarena mana krishna nivesha. Somehow or another, become conscious of Krishna. Utilize our time in such a way as to help us become conscious of Krishna. That way, what is that verse? Of course we don't have the first canto. Both by the rising and the setting of the sun, ayu harati vaipum sam. Yasta nastam tiya chi yo. You can get that verse? So, Uttamashloka Vartaya. I got one part of the sentence wrong. Ayur harati vaipumsam uda nashtan chiya chi yo. Something about both by the rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's duration of life is lost, except for the one who utilizes his time in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Must be in there. Tasyarte kahita, tasyarte prasyarte, tad. Yadarte yakshano nito nita Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Therefore, people think we're wasting our time simply sitting, you know, seeing here, hearing about Krishna or chanting Hare Krishna or whatever. People don't realize that we're actually utilizing our time properly. And everyone else is not only wasting their time, but their time is working against them. Every breath they're taking, they're getting more implicated in the laws of karma, and their destination is more and more undesirable. Therefore, we don't have to pray for a longer duration of life. We have to pray for more consciousness of Krishna. And if we become more conscious of Krishna, then our life will gradually become actually successful. Otherwise, everything else is shravam eva hi kevalam, a waste of time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
Maharaj, regarding this, Krishna extends the life of a devotee. So when we pray for some kind of benefits, you know, like we do, like, you know, so it's proper meditation is that for the purpose of preaching mission, no other.
No, we don't. Even Prabhupada didn't even want us to pray for that. He had us pray if Krishna wants, then let Prabhupada stay.
Mm.
He's the one who's going to expand his preaching mission all over the world. Mm. He's just using us for an instrument. He doesn't need any of us to expand his preaching. He has his timetable. He's making the arrangements. But if he wants, he can utilize us. So, just like when Haridas Thakura was leaving, he wanted to leave his body. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, don't leave. You know, I need you for my pastimes. And Haridas Thakura said, you have millions and trillions of devotees who can sit on my head. You don't need me. I'm just an insignificant living entity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted Haridas Thakura's desire and let him leave before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wound up his pastimes. But there's no loss on Haridas Thakura's part. He went back as Lord Brahma, as a pure devotee in Satya Loka.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.